God stirred spirits. Ought to entitle it, God, stir up our spirits. Give us a spirit that you can stir up for something. But God stirred their spirits, and God can stir our spirits like God stirred spirits in times past, as the Bible records it. Beginning in Ezra, the first chapter, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing. Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. Then in parentheses, I like that, he is the God. Isn't that something, this pagan king saying that? He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Verse 5 said, then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah and Benjamin, and the priest and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God had raised, to go up to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. Now, you notice here, for this wonderful restoration of Jerusalem and this return of the exiles of God's people back to Jerusalem that had been taken captive 70 years before by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army under his command. They had destroyed the city of Jerusalem. They'd taken away hostages, and they'd killed many of the people and scattered them over the kingdom of Babylon and later Medo-Persia. And here we find after 70 years, and why did God stir up his spirit? He said so that the word of the Lord, that is prophecy, that came from the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. He had to stir up somebody to fulfill it. And God will always do it when it gets time to fulfill prophecy. God's going to stir somebody's spirit to do it, to fulfill prophecy. For Jesus said, the prophecy of the scriptures cannot be broken. You can't break them. And God will do it. Now, I like this because over the page before in 2 Chronicles 36, in verse 22, it says the same thing. I want to begin, though, in verse 21. To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbath, for as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. 70 years the land lay desolate according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Jeremiah the prophet. But see, he also prophesied a restoration at the end of 70 years. All right, now verse 22. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, same as Ezra 1 and 1, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia. Then he made a proclamation throughout all of his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, and then he issued that decree that all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven hath given me, and he has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. And then what did God have to do? Cyrus wasn't going to build that house, but he had the authority to issue the proclamation. And God stirred up his spirit and put it in his heart to do it. Now God had another big job. In verse 5 of Ezra 1, he said, then rose up them people whose spirits God had stirred. He rose up the fathers of Judah and Benjamin and the priests and the Levites with all them whose spirit God had raised to go to build the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem. And they didn't only build the house of the Lord, they rebuilt the walls, they rebuilt the city. After 70 years of God fulfilled the word of Jeremiah the prophet. He was dead, but his word didn't die. God watched over that word to perform it. That's what God told Jeremiah in the beginning of his ministry. In Jeremiah 1 and 10, he said, I'll hasten my word to perform it. That means I'll watch over it. And I'll perform it, Jeremiah. You just speak it at my mouth. Now another thing I want to call your attention to. In the 45th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah, the 45th chapter, and also in the 44th chapter. There was a double recording of this particular prophecy that came forth. All right, Isaiah 45 in verse 1. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him. And I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two leaved gates, and the gate shall not be shut. I will go before thee. That's Cyrus. Now, Cyrus hadn't even been born when this prophecy came forth. And you'll make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel, for he's ever born. The Lord prophesied through Isaiah that a fellow named Cyrus was going to be born, a pagan that was going to be God's servant. All right. Who did he do it for? Verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake, for Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. He hadn't even been born. He didn't even know God. But yet God named him, prophesied about him, what he would do and all about him. Oh yeah, I was going to show you something else while we was there. I neglected there. And that's over in the 44th chapter. And Lord here didn't call him his servant. He called him a shepherd. All right? Verse 28. That saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. God called him his anointed and his shepherd, and he was a heathen. Praise God. But when the Lord stirs up the spirit of a heathen, then you're not a heathen anymore. Praise God. When he stirs your spirit up, when you got a spirit that can be stirred up, and God is looking for people whose spirits can be stirred. There's some people got such a low profile in their spirit, but God can't even stir them up. They won't even listen to God. They get all stirred up and get stirred up the wrong way. But God wants spirits that he can stir up. I want to show you something in the beginning here, speaking of spirits. I was going to wait till the end of it. Here, when I preach, I always have a few notes with scriptures on it. And I saved it for the last in my mind, but I'm going to bring it out first. Whenever God saves us and fills us with a desire to serve him, the Lord joins our spirit to his spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. We're one spirit when we're joined to the Lord. That means our spirit and his spirit just flows together and becomes one as long as we are in unity and we agree with God and his word. Then we're one spirit. All right? Then if we're one spirit, then we can have a strong spirit to listen to God, to be stirred by the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you another secret that I think is a secret that most people don't ever think about or have never thought about. And that is, it's a lot more effective for the Holy Ghost to come on you or me and stir our spirits to do something than it is for God to speak in our ear and tell us to do something when we're not even stirred up and driven and motivated to do it. It leaves us in a spirit of a vacuum. We sort of in a vacuum. We're hesitant. We're doubting. We're fearful about everything we do. When God speaks to you, it doesn't mean that you can do it because God tells you to do it. But when God stirs your spirit up, you're driven to do it, and you don't have much to say about it except go ahead and do it. Old Cyrus, there wasn't much he could do about that. God stirred him up until he was boiling inside. Hey, God told me to build him that house and build that temple back. Who among you will go up and be the men that God will use? And God stirred up men, and they rose up. Like Nehemiah and Ezra. You read on the first chapter of Nehemiah how God stirred his spirit. And he went in before the king and he was sad because his brother Hanani had gone to Jerusalem and returned and told him the sordid, wretched misery that was there in Jerusalem in Judah, because he said, the people are poor. The city is broken down and in desolation. And he said, he fasted. And he mourned before the Lord, and he come in before the king with a sad countenance, for he was the king's cupbearer. And the king said, "Why are you sad? This is nothing else but heart sickness." Because before he'd not been sad in the presence of the king. He said, "What is your request?" He said, "I prayed to the God of heaven. Give me a little time, king, and I'll come back and tell you." And he came back, and that's the same old king. Calls him Artaxerxes there. That's the same king as Cyrus. That's his title. Xerxes. All them Persian kings had Xerxes or something like that before his name, like Pharaoh. There was one started off called Xerxes that was one of their predecessors in the kingdom of Persia. And then they come along and took that name like Caesar. Caesar Augustus, Caesar Nero, Caesar Maxentius, or any other of those Caesars. They are all Caesars. Artaxerxes and Cyrus. And he came back and he says, "I want to go see about the city and the sepulchre of my fathers."